Welcome to our second lesson in Biblical Foundation. In Biblical Foundation, this lesson is called First Things First. On our last lesson, I did remind you to read or even remember the Gospel, which is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. As we go through this lesson on Biblical Foundation, we're talking about where you start as a believer concerning the Word of God and concerning how God has laid it out in the Bible that we can have an understanding of the faith that is set before us. Now, the Gospel is in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1, where Paul said, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." So you remember, Paul took the gospel to the Gentiles, "by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. So that there is the gospel, which is the foundation, which Christ died for your sins and was buried and rose again. Now, this lesson is going to be dealing with first things first. Last week we mentioned the foundation, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. I'd like you to take your Bibles and go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And we're going to read that passage again to remind you what the foundation is and who the foundation is. So let's pick this up again and say, we won't read the whole passage, but pick it up saying verse 5, where, "Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom you believed, even as the Lord gave to every man?" Now, when you trusted the Lord Jesus Christ to be your God and Saviour, you are known as a believer. "I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive of his own reward according to his own labour. For we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building, according to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon." Now, with first things first, we have to see and understand that Paul called himself a master builder. Now, as we go through these lessons, I want you to think of what it would mean for you to build a house. And obviously, a house cannot be built till there is a foundation laid. And obviously, you need, if you're not a builder yourself, you need a master builder who then is able to build the house. Here, Paul says that the foundation has been laid in verse 11, "For other foundation can no man lay, and that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." So obviously we're going to be looking at that foundation more clearly as we go through the Bible. Then he says, "Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet as so as by fire." I want you to understand is that in the day you believed on Jesus Christ, God sealed you unto the day of redemption, which is in Ephesians 1:13. You have been sealed, you have been saved, and it's not a matter of whether you will go to heaven. It is a matter that you will go to heaven. And the point is here that in this passage, Paul is showing to us clearly that at the judgment seat of Christ there are rewards. So when you consider your Christian life, it begins as a race, as also Paul mentioned over there in Hebrews chapter 12, where he said, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, in this particular lesson, though, we are looking at Paul being the master builder. Now, a master builder, therefore, also has to have an understanding of how to build or how to read maybe a blueprint. Now, when you consider Paul, I want you to understand that when he was saved on the road to Damascus, it wasn't like all of a sudden he just went into, the ministry and produced the 13 letters which we have in the New Testament. Paul himself reminds us very clearly that in Galatians chapter 1, and this is important, verse 17, and I'll read this verse to you, that he himself went down to Arabia. And let's read what happens down here in Arabia as after he got saved in verse 17, if you want to go to Galatians chapter 1, verse 17. Paul makes it very clear, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. Then after 3 years I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. I want you to understand that Paul himself spent 3 years in Arabia preparing and understanding the Word of God, that he could be truly what he mentions himself to be here as a master builder. Now, God doesn't give us a Bible that we can't understand. Everything we seem to do in life will make sense. So does the Word of God. It makes sense. So Paul said he's a master builder. Now, if you're a builder, you're also going to have to understand that you're trusting him to be able to read the plans from the architect. So a master builder follows a plan, he follows a pattern which has been given to him by an architect. Now, according to the Word of God that you have in your hand, which is the King James Bible, you've got to understand who the architect is. So come over with me for a moment to, I think it is in 2 Peter chapter 1. And in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're going to find out who the architect is to the blueprint. So an architect is someone who draws up something, and then that's drawn on what's known as a blueprint. And then that blueprint then is passed on to the master builder. And from that blueprint, the master builder then begins to build your house. So if you understand those things, this is how the Word of God works. Just give me a moment, please, while I turn over to this passage here in 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's pick it up and say verse 18. Follow with me for a moment. Peter speaking, and this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. Peter is reminding us of a time when Jesus Christ took him and John up into a mountain, which is called the Mount Transfiguration. And here he says that they had seen the fullness of Christ. They saw his majesty, an eyewitness of his second coming. But here in verse 19, the Bible says, we also, a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and day a star arise in your hearts. And there will be a time that Jesus Christ, you will meet him as your God and Saviour, knowing this verse, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Keep that in mind. If an architect, say, writes down the blueprint has to be followed, otherwise the house won't be built correctly. It could be leaning to one side or the other, depending on how it's built upon that foundation. So it's very clear here that when you come to the scriptures, there can be of no private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as are moved by the Holy Ghost. So very clearly, the author of the scriptures is the Holy Ghost of God, and we are coming from the New Testament for you. Now, to avoid private interpretation, this is what this means. It's not a matter just to say, I do believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. That is true. It is. It is the blueprint. The Holy Ghost is the author. But the key to be, say, being a Bible believer or believing what the Bible teaches is to avoid private interpretation. The way we do that, and if I was the master builder for a moment and I was reading the blueprint, I need to follow these four rules, these what we call four C's, to keep within the bounds of what the Bible teaches. Just the same as a master builder who gets the plans to build your house, he understands the different terminologies and the different things that are drawn, so he can understand then how to build upon that foundation. So the first C that you should really take into account when you're doing your own Bible study is to keep things in context, meaning that a verse should be kept in the context of the chapter. It also should be kept maybe in context of the book. And this is very important. Sometimes people do not know the themes of each book of your Bible. Say, for example, the book of Hebrews, the theme is about going back. So therefore, when you understand the theme of the book that's written, then when you read a passage or a verse, you then can keep that verse in context of either the chapter or of the book itself. This helps so you won't lean to private interpretation. The second rule to reading the Bible is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, where he talks about comparing scripture with scripture. If you don't understand something in your Bible, wait till the Holy Spirit of God, who will bring all things to your remembrance, show you, comparing scripture with other scriptures that shed light on that passage. So therefore, we start to understand what the Bible teaches by comparing scripture with scripture. The other one is to consider as conversation. Not all the Bible is for you, but it is to us, meaning that there are parts that you doesn't apply to the New Testament believer. But it's all to us, so we have an understanding. The final C is consideration. This is very important when we come to the lesson, as we're talking about first things first. Consideration is considering prophecy, things to come. The Bible clearly teaches us that prophecy is never really understood fully till after it has happened. For example, when Jesus told the disciples he was going to be crucified and mistreated by the Pharisees and so forth, they did not understand that till after the resurrection. So it's important to understand that when it comes to end times stuff, do not be distracted about things that you will never really understand till after it has been fulfilled. So that's very important, especially when it comes to this lesson. So when we consider first things first, then the Bible then starts to lay out a thought for us that we have a blueprint, we have the architect, the Holy Ghost, and that blueprint is going to teach us or show us how to build upon the foundation that has already been laid. If you remember, David in the Old Testament said about his Lord, and I want you to think with me for a moment as I read you Psalm 40, maybe just take a moment before I read it. Just think about your own salvation when you trusted Jesus Christ to be your God and Saviour. And just remember that there was a time where all things seemed to pass away and all things became new. Paul said this, David said, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Men shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. David very much mentioned that God was his rock, and how God had pulled him out of the miry clay and set his feet upon a rock. It's important to understand as a believer, God wants you to be settled in your faith in the Son of God. Jesus made it very clear that the house needs to be built upon a rock because the floods will come. As we go through this lesson, I want you to understand that if you do go through a crisis, the crisis can sometimes only really reveal what we are made of. But spiritually, if your faith is in the foundation that's already laid and you do go through a crisis, then you have an anchor, something to hold on to. So it's important when we look at this, that as we look at the fact that we have a master builder, Paul's going to show us that the foundation is laid, and he's made it very clear that if we in this life take responsibility for the Word of God, that we build our life upon Christ, which is the person, the foundation, that there are rewards in heaven. Maybe you haven't thought about this, but most of us think in a temporal way. We think more in the line of a horizontal plateau of how things affect us now, rather than thinking, no, I need to be living on the vertical plateau, understanding that my life is important and that building upon this foundation is going to bring us rewards in heaven. Also understand that when you read the Bible, you are saved, you have eternal security, so therefore I have now the right, you could say, to build upon the foundation. Because in John chapter 1, where the Bible says that he gave power to them that believe on his name, power to become the sons of God. So we have a right and authority, you could say, from the Word of God, that we can build upon this foundation. So Paul is a master builder. The blueprint is the Word of God, and the architect is the Holy Ghost. Now let me just make this as just a short note. When you start to get into other translations, the blueprint has changed. And therefore, you will not be able to teach clearly what the Bible teaches. Say, for instance, if I am to put a wall on the foundation, it needs to be straight. I need to know the measurements. It does need to be precise. But if the blueprint is wrong, that wall could be either miscued or off center or whatever the case might be. So it's important to remember that. Remember that there is one God, he has one book, and he has preserved it, and we do believe in the preservation of the King James Bible, that he has given us his word. So therefore we can have no doubt, and we have a surety that we have the Word of God, the blueprint, we have the Holy Spirit of God to start to teach us, to show us from the Word of God how to build my Christian life that we have now in Jesus Christ. So when you consider about this, for a moment with me, if the foundation has been laid, then obviously we're going to start to build. Now, if you've done any type of building, and if you've ever built upon a foundation, the corner of that foundation is very, very important to get the rest of the house straight or squared off. And in the Word of God, Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone. I want you to think about that. I'm going to give you Matthew 21, verse 42, and Mark 12, 10, and Luke 20, verse 17. In Matthew 21, 42, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto them, did he never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become ahead of the corner. This is the Lord's doing and is marvellous in our eyes. Have you not read in the scripture, the stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner? Jesus Christ is called the chief cornerstone. Now, when you lay down a foundation, and if you've ever laid down a foundation, you're going to need a form, something that forms that foundation. I'm going to read you from Romans chapter 6, verse 17. Romans 6, verse 17. I want you to hear the term the Word of God uses. In verse 17 of Romans 6, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered unto you. Notice the word form. So if a lady is to make a cake, she puts it in a cake tin. If we lay down a foundation, there's a form laid down first. The form in your Bible, in the King James Bible, the doctrine you received is the gospel of your salvation, how that Christ died for your sins, that he was buried and rose again. So that's the form that gives a shape to the foundation. So these words in your King James Bible are put there plainly and clearly so we can understand that. Jesus Christ himself, as you read the book of John, used metaphors to explain who he was. I am the good shepherd. I am the door, and so forth. When you start reading your Bible, think of the terms that God uses, a term that he uses for humans, or us. He calls us sheep. He's a shepherd. If you want to understand what human nature is like, go and study sheep, and you will find that we're very much like sheep. Have you ever seen a sheep jump over something and then all the other sheep jump in the same spot, and yet when you go to see what they jumped about, there was nothing there to see? That's human nature. So the Bible uses terms we understand. So here in the Word of God, I want you to think like this. I'm going to start building. I need a master builder. He knows the architect. We've got the blueprint, and we're going to start building upon a foundation that was laid. The form of that foundation, the length, the breadth, and the depth of it is found in the gospel, and that forms the foundation, and that foundation, according to the Word of God, is Jesus Christ himself. He is also known as the chief cornerstone, and you can never build anything straight if you don't have the cornerstone squared off and right. And so when you start looking at, we're starting to get the idea now that we need first things first. So if you have been saved for many years and you've been to many churches, I want you to start to refocus your mind and your thoughts back to the idea that we have a foundation and God wants us to build upon this foundation. And according to the Word of God, when we build upon this foundation, we're then starting to find something that I think is very important for the believer, as the next lesson we're going to go into is building the house. So we've got the first things first in this lesson. The second lesson we're going to do is about building the house, building on the foundation and going through what that would mean spiritually to you as a believer. I thank you for tuning in. I do encourage you to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1-6, the gospel, and focus on the gospel as we go through biblical foundation. The big need nowadays, in the day and age you and I live in, is a biblical foundation. It has been lost or stamped upon or maybe even ignored. But I guarantee you that having this foundation will help your faith grow stronger in him as we see the day approaching.